Pain in the Morning, August 3rd. Yeah, it's already August. It only took 2 years to get here from March. The Police Is Next to You. It's they're reissuing it. It's going to be remastered. Next to You, 6 feet Away. It's going to be a big COVID-19 hit. It's going to be on Ronco's COVID. It's going to be on Ronco's COVID-19 album. Is that Freedom Rock? Turn it up, man. Is that COVID rock? With such great hits as Next to You, Living in a Cave, and got to put a, maybe we'll have to put a COVID. I'm going to put a COVID mixtape together, man. I'm going to send it to Dr. Fauci. He can play it on his A-track. August 3rd, Monday. A lot of news to cover. It's a busy weekend news-wise. I don't know what's going on with our site, True Pundit. Things been on fire. Whatever, we'll take it. Ever since it was uncovered that Mr. Clinton was on Epstein Island with a couple babes, young babes from young girls, I guess, not babes, girls from New York. Site's been on fire. With people looking into some of the other research we've done, namely the victim that we marched in, I personally marched into the FBI, who says he was assaulted by Bill Clinton sexually. So folks want to access that. It's a conspiracy theory. It's like a year ago. It's a conspiracy theory. And now it's like, oh, shit, this guy was right. This guy's pretty good. It's uncanny how all these conspiracy theories actually become conspiracies. We owe that guy an apology. Oh, fuck him. We're not going to apologize. You know what he's getting into, this journalism thing. Fact check that, assholes. We had a good, lively podcast on Friday. A lot of good feedback from that, talking about masks. And I appreciate the feedback. And if you didn't listen to that, trek back to Pain in the Morning on Friday and catch some of that lively rhetoric. I think somebody said I dropped like 9 F-bombs in 30 seconds when I got on a tirade. Well, you get the point. Nobody else out here is dropping F-bombs. Everybody's like, yeah, that's really, the analysis was very interesting. We looked at this stuff. It's like, come on, man. Where's the real talk at? I want real fucking talk. Let's go. Chop, chop. Not enough time to play act. I can play act. Oh, I could get on here for an hour and not say one F word, not say any swear words. Like at Citigroup, we couldn't go into a meeting with high-ranking people and start dropping F-bombs. I can act. We all play different roles in our life. Is that what you want? No, that's not what I'm going to do. I can get on here and sound polished as shit. And that's what we used to do at Citigroup. You polished at the meeting, and after the meeting, you threaten to kill people who don't want to see things your way. Behind the scenes, you're a tyrant. But when the meeting's on and the space phone's on, you know, in the middle of the table, you're a Mr. Corporate. I could do that. I can hang with the best. But the time is short. We don't have time to play games. And to be honest with you, I don't have anybody to impress anymore in my life. I'm trying to impress myself, trying to outdo myself. That's who I have to impress, myself. And it's freedom, baby. I don't have to worry about all that other bullshit. So it's good. I'm glad you're along for the ride, especially the folks on patreon.com/truepundit. Subscribestar.com/truepundit, watching the video podcast, The Pain of the Morning. We got the More Pain show coming tomorrow for subscribers only. We have a couple other surprises on there this week I got cooking up. And we have some other programming coming in the future I won't say too much about, but keep your eye open on the subscriber-only area. Could get very lively in the next several months, leading up to the election and beyond. Hopefully we make it that far. Only half saying a jest. But we appreciate the support. The numbers are doing very well for this podcast. Some people have asked, hey, what are your numbers like? You never talk about them. Who cares? It's growing. And we don't advertise. Just like we'd never advertise True Pundit. We never paid for an ad. I don't think so. Maybe we might have tried out some Facebook ads for like $25 or something once, and I'm like, this is stupid. And maybe one Twitter ad, I think, for $30. I'm like, this is dumb. This is a waste of money. Why are we paying these guys? Right? He's just going to get into a vicious cycle where you always have to pay to get your stuff out. We're not doing that. So our stuff spreads organically, and it's a slower build, and that's life. But it's real. It's not a bunch of fake crap and buying links and buying whatever all these people do. People actually buy people. I was talking to somebody. I didn't really know this. I kind of knew it, but not to the extent. A lot of these people on Periscope that have these, like, you know, Periscopes, and you see, like, it's 30,000 people. It's like 1,000 people, and they go to these these click farms, and they tell them what time they want all these people to view. And there's been like 30,000 people, but it's traffic that they buy. It's very strange. I guess they want to look legitimate. Whatever. We're rolling. We'll keep building it. And when you build something that's real, it's real. That's the glory of it, the beauty of it. And that's what we're doing. So just like we do with True Pundit, that's what we're doing with this podcast. And we appreciate the support again. It's all about you guys listening, downloading, checking us out, coming back. Obviously, something I'm saying is resonating with people. Real talk, so to speak. First headline, D.C. mayor exempts John Lewis funeral attendees from city's quarantine restrictions. Well, it seems like it's we've got our music in line here. A little Fortunate Son action there. Right? I will say, so, if you're going to the funeral, you didn't have to wear a mask or be quarantined. But if you weren't, you had to be, you know, listen to the restrictions. Nothing celebrates civil liberties and civil rights like limiting other people's civil rights. It's very strange and ironic. Ironic, not ironic. It's ironic, too. But more ironic. Yeah, let's celebrate a guy for his alleged contributions to civil rights by trampling on other people's civil rights. Incredible. Great job, D.C. Mayor. Another dope. Lawmakers who attended the funeral of late John Lewis, Democrat from Georgia, in Atlanta this week, were exempt from Washington, D.C.'s self-quarantine restrictions, according to District Mayor Muriel Bowser's office. According to the mayor's July 24th order titled Requirement to Self-Quarantine After Non-Essential Travel. Jesus Christ, could they make the thing longer? Idiots in that office. Any resident who travels to high-risk areas for non-essential reasons must be self-quarantined for 14 days and monitor themselves for symptoms of the virus. Georgia is in the high-risk category, I hate to tell Mayor Bowser. I was just in Georgia a couple weeks ago, literally a couple weeks. I've been self-quarantined. I'm just waiting to die here at home, Pennsylvania. I know it's coming. I fear for it every night. I know it's my last fucking dying breath when I go to bed. So I know all about it. We went to a lot of high-risk states, Florida, Georgia, and now we have to stay quarantined in Pennsylvania for 2 weeks, I guess. We're not allowed to go anywhere, which is fine with me. Where the hell, where am I going to go? Regarding why attendees at Lewis's funeral escaped the strictures of self-quarantine, Bowser Press Secretary Susan Castillo characterized the ceremony as an essential government activity, saying government activity is essential and the capital of the United States is exempt from the mayor's order. Oh, of course. Yeah, it's essential, all right. The guy's dead. It's like, how many funerals are you going to have for this guy? Right? It's... one of these days I'd like to have a show where I could actually say what I wanted to say and just blast all these fucking phonies. The mayor's office still deems the funerals of regular people non-essential activity, however. Yeah, well, John Lewis, I mean, he did so much. Incredible. Look at his resume. 50 years in Congress, wasn't it? His resume is massive. You could write it on one sheet of toilet paper, I'm sure. That's being kind. Does anybody actually know what this guy actually really did in 50 years of Congress? In Congress? I'm going to say 50 years. It's probably 40 years. What the hell's the difference? What's a decade once you've been in for 4 years? 40 years. He might have been in 50 years. I don't really give a shit to, you know, enough to take a look at it, but what did he do? Does anybody know? Can anybody answer that? I don't. His district is Atlanta. It's a fucking battlefield. Battlefield. It's mediocrity is celebrated all throughout the Beltway. And the same thing for John McCain. What the hell did he ever do? Look at his actual military record. When he blew up an aircraft carrier and killed like 130 people. I think 130 people died. I could be wrong. He was hot-dogging, started an aircraft carrier on fire. Then his father and his grandfather, who were admirals, got him out of trouble. He should have been court-martialed. See, this is what happens when you don't clamp down on people who act like assholes. And there's a two-tier justice system. And that jackass went on to serve in the Senate. What did he ever do in the Senate? I'm curious. Just basic questions. What's his record? Other than trying to throw a sitting president out of office. President Trump. He's the maverick. He was a fucking mannequin, not a maverick. The guy was a nobody. The mayor's office still deems the funerals of regular people non-essential activity, however, when asked whether attendees of non-government funerals in high-risk areas are still required to self-quarantine under the mayor's order, Castillo responded simply, yes. Well, of course. Members of Congress are also exempt from Bowser's recent edict mandating D.C. residents to wear masks, both in public indoor spaces and even outside, if they are likely to come into contact with another person, such as a being within 6 feet of another person for more than a fleeting time. Those who neglect to cover up their face expose themselves to the possibility of fines up to $1,000 per violation. These guys are now even more blatant with the two sets of rules. two sets of rules. One for the beautiful people and that are in Congress, and one for you. You get charged $1,000. Unless you go to a funeral or something of somebody, one of the other beautiful people, then you don't have to worry about it. This is completely unconstitutional, capricious, illegal, and something needs to be done about it. Incredible. Really incredible, to be honest with you. And I could go on, but I'll be quiet. You get the drift, what I was saying about Lewis. I don't, what do they say in Texas? He's all hat, no cattle. Speaking of Texas, Texas downgrades COVID death toll after error wrongly attributes hundreds of deaths to COVID. Oh, that's nice. So these people are not dead. But the math said they were dead. So, what we got? Oh, the police is spirits in the material world. That's what they are. These formerly dead math statistics who were spirits in the material world are now incredibly risen from the dead because they never were dead. Because apparently no one in the healthcare industry in any state knows how to fucking count. I think Fauci probably issued fucking abacuses and slide rules to these idiots. The CDC is issuing abacuses to every state. You get an abacus and you'll get an abacus. And figure it out. Jesus, what a fucking disgrace. Going with a lot of Police here tonight. That was a big band that had a big influence on me when I was growing up. In my teen years. I really liked them a lot. On Thursday, the Texas Department of State Health Services acknowledged that an automated error had mistakenly attributed hundreds of deaths to the China-originated coronavirus that were not directly linked to the virus, adding that the department has revised the death count accordingly. Our idiots. In the material world, we can't count. Fucking up every state. Yeah, Democrats, screwing up your world. Somebody asked me, do you write that stuff? I don't write it. I just roll with it. Can't you tell? It would be better if I wrote it. DSHS corrects COVID-19 fatality counts for the week of July 27th, the department announced in a tweet. An automation error caused 225 fatalities to be included, even though COVID-19 was not listed as the direct cause of death on the death certificate. Everybody's dying of COVID-19. I was just reading. Julius Caesar stabbed to death. COVID-19 death. President McKinley. President of the United States in the early 1900s. Or 1900. I think through 1904 maybe. 1903. Assassinated. They just listed his death as COVID-19. Incredible. Fauci's been busy. He's exhuming people of history now. Figures of history and retagging their deaths as coronavirus. These fucking guys are so full of shit. Our spirits in a mass of fraud, you and I. It's never going to end. People I talked to this week, guys, they said, oh, when this is all over with, things go back to normal. Not going back to normal. You know why? Because there's a lot of people out there that haven't done a goddamn thing about it to make noise. To say that they don't like this scheme. And so it's not going to go back to normal until that happens, till people start raising hell. And we're not near there yet, near that point yet. So won't be going back to normal. Remember that 15-day bullshit? So I have to say to you, anytime somebody says, trust the government, trust this, trust that, we just need to shut down for 15 days. What are we in, 145 days now? I'm not kidding. It's like 145 days. Now, I didn't score really high on my math in my SAT score, but I know that that's not 15 days, 140-something. Headline, Dr. Fauci, there's no inconsistency in COVID lockdowns. Now, if you read this story on True Pundit with the story for Pain in the Morning, August 3rd or 8-3, there's a video included with this, but it's too long for the podcast, but it is interesting. So what can we play for a little Fauci? Little Demolition Man? That's what the fuck he is. I ruined the country. Courtesy of the White House. The White House is doing a bang-up job. They had the idiot Burks on today. In the last couple days. Saying, masks are great, and you might have to wear a shield, too, and you can decorate them. Get the fuck out of here, you dizzy scarf fraudster.
And they can be decorated.
Like it's fucking Martha Stewart. I'm going to say it again. I'll just say it because I don't give a shit anymore. If Trump loses, it's because of Redfield, Burks, Fauci. He will not, for some reason, walk away from these people. Some people say, oh, he's setting them up. folks, I've worked on campaigns. I worked on national campaigns in the House and the Senate. Worked in the White House. I won't go into it, okay? But tick-tock, literally. There's not a lot of time left. So whatever you have in your head about there's a plan and he's setting people up, there's definitely not enough time for that to play out before the election. So he needs to walk away from these people now and distance himself, but he's not doing that. So what I'm saying is, and we can't do anything about it. All we can do is sit out here and talk about it, shrug our shoulders, say, I don't know what's going on. The chatter about that has picked up on social media, I notice. And what I'm saying to you is this. I'm not saying I want the guy to lose. That's not the case. I'm just putting the facts out there that he is poised to lose because of these three people. And nobody seems to be able to break through and get this information to him. It's the people he's surrounded with are feckless. And they have ulterior motives. We've seen that time after time again. People that have been peeled out of the White House and turned into a rat. So, Fauci literally is a demolition man, and that whole crew in there are a demolition crew. They fucking ruined our country. But like I said, they have a license from the White House, and if you can figure it out, please contact me and let me know how you figured it out. I can't. It's beyond reason, logic, comprehension. During a House Judiciary Committee hearing on Friday, Representative Jim Jordan pressed Dr. Fauci on whether the government should restrict the massive Black Lives Matter protests across the country in order to slow the spread of the coronavirus. Fauci admitted that crowds full of people not wearing masks were likely to spread the virus, but he refused to say whether or not protests would do so. He also refused to make any recommendations on limiting protests. Even though he had made many recommendations in the past. Yeah, because he's a puppet. We just have to figure out whose hand is up his ass and who's telling him what to say. I think we know. I think it's the idiot from Microsoft. At one point, Fauci even insisted that there's no inconsistency in preventing people from going to work, going to church, and going to school, but allowing them to gather massive crowds to protest. Dr. Fauci, do protests increase the spread of the virus? Jordan began. Fauci said he can only make a general statement about crowds. This fucking guy. Well, a 500 million protesters... Oh, this is Jordan, my bad. Well, 500,000 protesters on June 6 alone, I'm just asking, that number of people, does it increase the spread of the virus? Jordan pressed.
Crowding together, particularly when you're not wearing a mask, contributes to the spread of the virus, Fauci responded.
Should we limit the protesting? Jordan said.
I'm not sure what you mean, Fauci responded.
Yeah, Fauci, like he's a stooge. I'm not sure what you mean. It's pretty fucking basic. It's five words. Should we limit the protesting?
Should the government limit the protesting? The congressman clarified.
Fauci stuttered. I don't think that's relevant to...
Well, you just said it increases the spread of the virus. I'm just asking, should we limit it? Jordan insisted.
Well, I'm not in a position to determine what the government can do in a forceful way, the doctor said.
Yeah, except fucking tell us what to do, where to go, how far to stand apart from each other, what to wear on our face, what kind of diaper works on my face. Yeah, you're not in a position to determine what the government can do in a forceful way. You fucking... ferret.
Jordan noted that Fauci has made all kinds of recommendations on subjects such as baseball, dating on Tinder, and government-mandated lockdowns. See, that's what I'm saying. Fauci recently said there would be likely no need for a second coronavirus lockdown. Yeah, kiss my ass. You know that's coming. He's a serial liar. And I could go on and on and on with other descriptive words and what he is, a narcissist, probably a psychopath, but we'll we'll limit it that. What do we have there? Demolition Man? Play a little bit more Police. I might go with some Police today. Someone's got them wrapped. Fauci's got somebody wrapped around their finger. We won't say who. I think I just talked about it earlier. You can read between the lines.
Hey, you're not on our team.
I'm on the side of truth, folks, if you haven't figured that out now. I don't know what to tell you. Go listen to one of those idiots on Fox. Get paid big money to lie to you. You guys suck it up. Not only that, you pay money every month on your cable bill for Fox and CNN. You're paying for that stuff. You're paying for them to lie to you. What a scam. And people email me and say, I don't understand why you ask for folks to support you on Patreon.com/TruePundit and Subscribestar.com/TruePundit. It doesn't seem fair. Why can't we just listen to you for free? Well, you can. You're doing that now, a lot of you. But if you want an ad-free environment, you're free to support us on that. Why do we have that? That's how we stay in business. That's why I'm here. The ads don't cut it, folks. They don't. And you can't depend on them because as soon as you say something they don't like, bye-bye ads. You saw that with Fox. Every time Hannity says something, he has to come back out and he's wearing like a propeller hat, like a little kid.
I'm sorry for what I said, sister. I was in the principal's office and they said, it's in Murdoch's office, and he said, I need to apologize.
I don't fucking apologize, ever. The difference. Do you call up Fox and say, why am I paying you guys to watch you guys? I don't get it. It's the way it is. This is the way the world works. You're paying for these cable shows, whether you realize it or not. And you're slamming them on Twitter all day long.
Mainstream media sucks.
You're the one fucking underwriting them. Not trying to be a dick. I'm just pointing it out.
He is being a dick again. Mildred.
Jordan also noted that New Jersey cops arrested gym owners Ian Smith and Frank Trombetti for violating a lockdown order by operating their business. Ian Smith, Frank Trombetti were arrested for trying to open their gym, he said. But my bet is if the two individuals who owned the gym were outside, just in front of the gym, and all the people who were working out in the gym had been outside protesting, they would have just been fine. But because they were in the gym working out, actually running their business, they got arrested. You think that's okay? He said to Fauci.
I'm not going to opine, Fauci said.
But do you see the inconsistency, Jordan pressed?
And there's no inconsistency, Congressman, Fauci said.
See, Fauci thinks he's the fucking president. The first president that would need a milk crate to address the nation. So you're allowed to protest millions of people in one day in crowds yelling, screaming, but you try to run your business, you get arrested? And if you stood right outside that building and protested, you wouldn't get arrested? You don't see any inconsistency there? Fauci again dodged the question.
I don't understand what you're asking me, he said, refusing to opine on who should get arrested.
You're advocating for a certain business to be shut down. I'm just asking your position on the protest, Jordan insisted. We've heard a lot about hair salons. I haven't seen one hairstylist who, between haircuts, goes out and attacks police or sets something on fire, but we've seen all kinds of that stuff during protests. And we know the protest actually increases the spread of the virus. Yet Fauci refused to even admit that protests increase the spread of the virus.
I said crowds. I didn't say specifically. I didn't say protests do anything, he insisted.
This guy's a fucking worm. Worm. Maybe that's what Fauci means in Italian, means worm. Total piece of shit. See right through this guy. I've been tracking guys like this for 35 years. He would not last under a cross-examination or an interrogation. Look at the way he folded interrogation. Look at the way he folded when he was pressed. He's used to being tossed softballs that are thrown more wildly than that pitch he threw at opening day MLB. A goddamn disgrace. That was a disgrace to manhood, is what that was. That's what an egomaniac is. Who in their right mind would go out there if they'd never thrown a baseball and humiliate themselves like that? He probably actually thought he was going to wing it right into the catcher's mitt over the home plate. That's what an egomaniac he is. Anybody else would have said, you know what? I've never thrown a baseball and I'm like 70-something. How about I appreciate the offer, but I don't want to throw out the first pitch. Not him. He was out there like a little fucking kid. The only thing missing was cotton candy in his left hand. He's like, oh, I get to throw out the first pitch. I mean, what kind of ego? I don't. That's just me. Just an observation. This guy, like under cross-examination or under pressure, he folded like a cheap suit. He folded like a dry cleaner in Fort Lee, man. All my friends in North Jersey, it's for you. Headline, CD. We could talk forever about Fauci, right? It's just, he's a disgrace and a puppet. He has no opinion of his own until he's told what to say. That's why he flip-flops so much, because he's reading from a script that changes. They keep moving the goalposts every time they're wrong. He couldn't even say that people burning down buildings, marching around the street like a bunch of urchins, vagabonds, gutter snipes, sewer rats, that they can spread the cause of COVID-19 or spread COVID-19 or be the cause of a spiking. He can't even say that. You know why? Because he's a fucking diehard Democrat and he loves it when they burn down shit because he's a communist. It's worse than that. There are a lot of diehard Democrats that are actually great people. But this guy's a communist. He wants to see it all burnt down. So guys like him and Gates can come in, shoot battery acid in everybody's arm. He can get richer. But we learned from episode 34, Thomas Paine podcast, you want to listen to that. We learned that Fauci is not really about the money. He always wanted the fame. So he loves this. He fucking loves it. Good, bad, whatever. If he sees in front of the camera, that's what he wanted his whole life, his professional life, according to Judy Mikovits. Wanted to be on the Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. Wanted to win the Nobel Prize. This is a sick fucking guy. That's all there is to it. So we played Wrapped Around Your Finger. You can read between the lines how I feel about the White House and Fauci. I think the Fauci's got the White House wrapped around his finger. All of us are circling the drain. CDC headline, CDC perverse incentive for hospitals to inflate coronavirus deaths. What do we got for that? Play money for nothing, but you got to go to like, I think it's a minute 36. Yeah. And again, know your marks on this song. Hospitals want money for nothing, baby. Look at them yo-yos. That's the way you do it. You ruined the country in just 3 months. Sorry, 4 months. It was supposed to be 15 days, remember? Oh, come on, man. You're all going to die. Just do what we say. Trust us. Yeah, that worked out well. American Indians trusted the government, too, when they got a bunch of blankets. Now, you guys look cold. You need these blankets. Sorry, I forgot to tell you that they're laced with smallpox. Some of you younger guys who were taught bullshit in history class, this is the real fucking history class right here. This is a history class your schools, your high schools, and your colleges, they never wanted you to hear. United States hospitals have perverse monetary incentive to increase their count of coronavirus fatalities. CDC Director Robert Redfield indicated under questioning from a Republican lawmaker during a House panel hearing on Friday, late Friday, asked to comment on what Representative Lueckenmayer described as a perverse incentive during a hearing. Redfield responded, "I think you're correct in that we've seen this in other disease processes too, really in the HIV epidemic." Redfield should know about that. He committed fraud during HIV research for a vaccine for the military. So he should know all about it. Redfield continued, "Somebody may have a heart attack, but also may have HIV. The hospital would prefer the classification for HIV because there's greater reimbursement." So I do think there's some reality to that. When it comes to death reporting, though, ultimately it's how the physician defines it in the death certificate, and we review all those death certificates. Oh, yeah, you're busy reviewing death certificates when you're not making fucking Amish fireplaces. Fucking Amish looking. So I think probably it's less operable in the case of death, although I won't say that there are not some cases. Yeah, because there are thousands of cases, so don't fucking even dare say it. It's already been proven, you dummy. I do think, though, that when it comes to hospital reimbursement issues or individuals that get discharged, there could be some play in for that, for sure. Yeah, pay to play. I don't know what episode it was. They all kind of lumped together. Maybe it was 32. Episode 31, maybe. Where he interviewed a whistleblower from one of the country's largest state health systems. Said that's exactly what's going on. Don't sit there and pretend like it might be going on. According to Congressman Admiral Brett Girard from the U.S. Health and Human Services Department has conceded that there's an economic incentive for hospitals to inflate their coronavirus fatalities. You know what? They want money for nothing. That's all this was ever about. Money for nothing and control over you. Girard acknowledged that the statistics he is getting from the states are overinflated as well. And your debts for free. You're living and you're part of one of the biggest schemes in world history. I don't think that it's not. I worked hundreds of schemes and probably had my hand in thousands of cases. And this is one of the best. This is the best. And the biggest. And it took a long time to plan. Don't think this just fucking cropped up. And it's playing out the way they say it's playing out. Oh, yeah, it's spread. This was hatched for years. And I'm starting to think that, well, I'll just be quiet. He said enough. There's no reason. No one fucking listens to me anyhow. Then they listen to me after it happens. I say something, and they're like, "Oh, that's interesting. That's out there. Mildred, he's really out there on this." And then 7 months later, a year later, "Holy shit, he was right. Why, he's still a fucking moron, obviously. I don't know." I mean, that's... Whatever. I'm still going to be here talking, so... You can't even make it up. You're talking to a fucking piece of sheetrock half the time. A lot of you guys are getting it. God bless you. Thank God for you. Headline. Red flags soar as Big Pharma will be exempt from the COVID-19 vaccine liability claims. But they're already exempt. So... they're already exempt in the U.S. Maybe this has to do, I'm seeing some stuff in the U.K. Maybe that has to do with something in the U.K. What do we got for that? playing all Police tonight, with the exception of... I like this song. I should have opened with this song. I like this song from Zenyatta Mandata. I think I was thinking about opening up with this song. I don't know. It's okay. A senior executive from AstraZeneca, Britain's second largest drug maker, told Reuters that his company was just granted protection from all legal action if the company's COVID-19 vaccine led to damaging side effects or death. Bombs away. Bombs away. Big Pharma's okay. This is a unique situation where we as a company simply cannot take the risk if in 4 years the vaccine is showing side effects, said Rude Dober.
Rude Dober? Mr. Dober, it's Rude, it's Rud. Why would my parents name me Rude? It's Rud. You're such a cretin.
Said Rud, whatever your fucking name is. Dober, a top executive at AstraZeneca. But it's okay that in 4 years, if the vaccine shows side effects, don't worry about the people out here, Rude. Just worry about your fucking company. Don't worry about you might smoke half the planet. Don't worry about that. You'll be easy to find, Rude. If the contracts we have in place, we are asking for indemnification. For most countries, it is acceptable to take that risk on their shoulders because it is in their national interest, said Dober, adding that AstraZeneca and regulators were making safety and tolerability a top priority. Yeah, we need a vaccine for something that 99.8 people survive from. Fucking bullshit. Let's go kill a lot of healthy people. AstraZeneca is one of the 25 pharmaceutical companies across the world testing experimental drugs that could be used to combat the deadly virus. And of course, if testing yields positive results, AstraZeneca could manufacture hundreds of millions of doses with no legal recourse if the side effects are seen. It's nice to be able to kill people legally. The Clinton should have gone into pharmaceutical. European officials told Reuters that product liability was a significant discussion to secure new vaccine drugs from Pfizer, Sanofi, Johnson & Johnson. You guys understanding what this says? As for the U.S., well, when it comes to the legal framework around vaccines, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration already has a law called the Public Readiness and Emergency Preparation Act, which provides immunity to vaccine companies if something goes wrong. If you don't know this, also, folks, I think that Bobby Kennedy Jr. told me that law passed, I think, in 1986. And for folks who don't know or haven't listened with recently here, half of the FDA's budget is funded by Big Pharma. Yay! Where's my yay button? Big Pharma. What could go wrong? What a corrupt fucking netherworld we're trapped in here. We talked about this all day Friday, about how useless masks are based on research and data, not just rhetoric. And now there's a headline, there is no proven effectiveness. The Netherlands refuses to make mask wearing a public mandate in public. A little sting. This whole thing stings. It's stinging me, I'll tell you that. So the Netherlands is setting their residents free from wearing a mask in public. Free, free, set them free.
I guess the Netherlands doesn't have a midget doctor. Midget medical Napoleon like Fauci. So they can actually make smart decisions without this corrupt fucking lawn jockey sticking his goddamn head in at every turn like a bridge troll. On Thursday, Reuters reported that the Dutch government had decided the day before that it would not advise the public to wear masks to slow the spread of coronavirus because their effectiveness has not yet been proven, and it never will be. In fact, we've gone over this. Listen to Friday's episode. Several studies cited it's actually more of a health detriment, especially to children. Listen to episode 34 of the Thomas Paine podcast. Parents, I even tell you where it is if you want to skip through the whole goddamn show. I don't even care. It's toward the end of the show. What Dr. Judy Mikovits says about your kid sitting in a mask all day in school. And what will happen to them. And also, if your child has special needs, they're actually in a higher risk category. Listen to that.
I can't believe it, man. He actually said you can skip through the podcast. This guy's coming around. We're going to miss all those ads. We get to save time. And he won't get any money.
The decision was announced by the Netherlands Minister for Medical Care, Tamara van Ark, following a review by the country's National Institute for Health. Following a resurgence in cases over the past week or so, the Dutch government has decided it will instead seek better adherence to social distancing rules. Quote, because from a medical perspective, there is no proven effectiveness of masks, the cabinet has decided that there will be no national obligation for wearing non-medical masks, Van Ark said. I don't know about you, but I like that name Van Ark. Something about it I like. Many European countries have made masks mandatory in the public indoor stores and in crowded outdoor places. The U.S. has generally followed suit, though some overzealous governors and local officials are also requiring people to wear masks in most outdoor scenarios, even when they aren't in a large crowd. Yeah, like Communist Cuomo. Cuomo just wants people to wear masks so he can tell they're still breathing. If they're still breathing... they become a target for more Cuomo-sponsored manslaughter, like the folks in the thousands of folks in the nursing homes, etc. In the Netherlands, masks are mandatory only on public transport, and Van Ark and her peers on the government committee aren't the only experts to question whether masks contribute anything whatsoever as far as safety. And Winzing, a virologist at the University Medical Center, Utrecht, has also questioned whether masks actually contribute anything extra. Dutch virologist Jaap van Dissel from the National Institute for Public Health and the Environment said Wednesday that masks can lead to false sense of security. When wearing masks, people might not follow other social distancing rules, like keeping their distance, which also helps prevent the spread. Mask wearing may also prompt people to touch their face more frequently, putting them at risk of accidentally infecting themselves while adjusting their masks. It's true, especially the dingbats who wear masks when they're alone in their car. These are people that need psychological help. As Politico points out, and we all know Politico is an authority on everything, especially running their stories by Hillary Clinton, if you read WikiLeaks and the DNC. As Politico points out, there are also questions about legality surrounding compulsory mask wearing. No, don't worry about it. Everybody has to do it. These tyrants said it's fucking unconstitutional. I see a lot of these lawyers on Twitter yapping about what's constitutional, what's not constitutional. File a suit, you big mouths. Shut the fuck up and file a suit. Do something. Get a precedent. Moreover, legal experts in the country are skeptical about the legality of compulsory masks. One law professor, Jan Brower, told NRC that a widespread mask mandate goes against the Constitution. This is in the United States we're talking about now, obviously. According to Brower and other experts, there needs to be a separate law on masks to make this regulation possible. Oh, I'm sure it's coming. You think these fucking cowards in the House and the Senate are going to go against the scamdemic? No. Or these dopes in the state legislatures? They'll fall right in line. They get a lot of money from this. Would the states get $150 billion from one of these coronavirus bailouts? And they haven't even spent any of it yet, all the different states? That's on top of the tax dollars they whack you for. You can't sit there and say, our state is really hurting. We lost a lot of money. Bullshit. We're still on the hook for taxes during the shutdown. I haven't seen any tax. Nobody gave me any school taxes back. Have you gotten any school taxes back? No. It's all bullshit. In fact, what they did was say, let's milk these fucking assholes for more money from the federal government so we can line our coffers. There's a pandemic. It's a national emergency. We got to cash in on this. That's all it's about. It's money. It's sad. It's fucking sad. Headline, Minneapolis Police Department advises residents to give in to the criminals. What? So, all the people who said, yeah, you've been hard on the Minneapolis Police Department. Are you anti-police? No, I'm anti-fucking coward. I'm anti-moron. I'm anti-stooge. And these guys are the poster children of that. So, they have to turn on the red light for emergencies anymore. The police department. You have to turn on the red light. Just like Roxanne. The Minneapolis Police Department is advising residents of the city to be prepared to give your cell number and purse, wallet, and cash if approached by robbers, crooks, and, quote, do not argue or fight with the criminal. Do as they say, unquote. The robbery prevention tips were circulated by the department and reported by local ABC affiliate KSTP5. They advise that the city is suffering an increase in robberies and carjackings, especially in the 3rd Precinct, where the fucking police department has been burnt down. The area of the city in which George Floyd was killed in police custody on Memorial Day and rioters destroyed police headquarters. Give the crooks your wallet. Give the vagrants your cash. Give these gutter snipes your purse. We're not going to protect your ass. Yeah. You got to read the story on True Pundit, okay? They have the actual advisory from the police department. Some of the robbery prevention tips include, be prepared to give up your cell phone and your purse and your wallet. Don't argue or fight with criminals. Do as they say. Your safety is the most important. Oh, yeah. Okay. In case of a problem, good luck. We're not going to help you, but your safety is important. Carry only items you need and carry less cash. How about a gun? If you're out there, I think one of the items you might need is a gun, a knife, a flamethrower, something to protect yourself, because the police have no interest in doing it, just like they did when the shit hit the fan. Jesus, this is a goddamn disgrace. This is... Other cities have reported dramatic increases in crime, including shootings and murders, since the Black Lives Matter protests and riots erupted. One Minneapolis resident who refused to give in without a fight was 99-year-old Evelyn Johnson, who fought with an intruder. He thought he was just going to cover my mouth and smother me, but that didn't happen. I fought him. We wrestled for quite a while, according to all my bruises, she told KSTP. God damn it, Evelyn. You should have just given him the car keys. Don't stick up for yourself. Didn't you read the police department's recommendations? You can't make this up. These people are fucked up. If you're a cop in Minneapolis, you're a disgrace. You're a fucking disgrace. Go do something else. It's over. Don't even put it on your resume. You know you should put on your resume? Comedian instead of cop. I told you, Mildred. He's got a nasty streak. Louisville Black Lives Matter is using mafia tactics. Where are we at? 57 plus minutes, I guess we're at. How much more do we have? Let me scan through this real quick. Man, we are way behind. I'm too busy yapping. That's okay. That's what the show's about, right? You're supposed to say what I'm supposed to say what I want to say. Okay. It's okay. Sometimes I feel like I'm trying to teach, too, to say stuff through the prism of my experience. I think that's important, too. So if you run quote-unquote long, you'll deal with it. If you like what you hear, I guess you'll stay. Name of the game. Louisville Black Lives Matter using mafia tactics. Mafia tactics. What do we have for that? Oh, yeah. It's good to get back to some police. I don't think they get the credit they deserve. The Louisville cadre of Black Lives Matter activists sent a letter to many downtown businesses demanding they diversify their employees, but at least one Cuban-American business owner objected to the threatening tone of the letter and posted his displeasure on Facebook. Am I wrong? Aren't major businesses giving millions and billions of dollars to these people? What am I missing? Everybody's so scared of their own fucking shadow to be called racist. They have to underwrite people who using mafia tactics. What a bunch of fucking wimps we have in this country, especially corporations. Bunch of gutless cowards. Do these guys ever figure out how you handle a bully? You don't pay them. They're just going to come back. Fernando Martinez owns a restaurant group with several Hispanic eateries. He accused BLM of using mafia tactics and explained his position. What's the media going to do now? How are they going to say that Martinez is racist? He's also a minority. Oh, man, how are we going to spin this? Check and make sure that he's not here illegally. Maybe we can use that against him. This guy's got us in a bad situation here. This Fernando Martinez. He sounds like he's illegal. Look into that. There comes a time in life that you don't have to make a stand. Let's go back. Let me get a quick drink here. They're burning down the city and no one cares. Fernando Martinez, the restaurant owner, says, there comes a time in life that you have to make a stand and you have to really prove your convictions and what you believe in. Martinez wrote in a public Facebook post, all good people need to denounce this. How can you justify injustice with more injustice? You can imagine what happened, right? Thugs.
The response by Black Lives Matter was immediate. Several members stood outside one of the business owner's establishments, demonstrating their displeasure and confronting Martinez when he came outside to talk to them. I wouldn't talk to him at all. I'd call the cops. Unless you're Minneapolis. Then if you're in Minneapolis and you have a problem and they're threatening you, this guy owns a restaurant. I would just put everything out on the sidewalk. The mixers, the ovens, and say, take it all. You don't want any trouble. Just take it. Here's my wallet, too. If you have time, we can go down to the bank. I can use my ATM card and get you guys out some cash. We don't want any trouble. The police said we should just help you guys out as best as we can. So please don't hurt me or kill me or burn my business down. Matter of fact, I'll just give you the whole business. You can run the restaurant. I really don't want to do it anymore anyhow. Well, by the way, you're only allowed to have like 10 people in here a day, so. Oh, well, you guys don't have to listen to regulations because you're Black Lives Matter. Okay, forget that. You guys can pack the place. Fuck out of here. Not surprisingly, some of the business owners who were recipients of the BLM letter are caving to the pressure. The demands include employ more black people, purchase more inventory from black retailers, and undergo diversity training, according to Louisville Courier-Journal. Adequately. This is. I don't even know what the fuck is going on in this country. Adequately represent the black population in Louisville by having a minimum of 23% black staff. Where'd they come up with 23%? Purchase a minimum of 23% inventory from black retailers. Or make a recurring monthly donation of 1.5% of net sales to a local black nonprofit organization. Let's go back to this. If we're going to talk about this, let's go back to this song. They want money for nothing. Can you imagine this? This cannot be illegal. This is insane. Since no one has the guts in Kentucky to do anything about it, why doesn't the Justice Department step in? They have a civil rights division that includes white people and all races and creeds. Your civil rights are being violated when someone... This is extortion. This is fucking mafia. Hello? The fuck is going on, Barr? You fat bastard. Do something down there besides tell everybody that you're going to put FBI guys in jail, you fucking serial liar. You protection racket fucking blimp. This is the mafia. Rudy Giuliani busted the mafia in New York, right? Now it's gone national. BLM. Everybody's staying around, we can't do anything about it. We don't want to be called a racist. Uphold the law, you fucking jellyfish. Sad. Require diversity and inclusion training for all staff members on a biannual basis and display a visible sign that increases awareness and shows support for the reparations movement. Who's going to... The next thing will be like gangs will roll in. Hey, you owe us money. Like the mafia back in the day. You didn't pay your protection. What am I protecting against? Us not burning your store down. Oh, yeah, let me get that. Let me go in the back and get that. It's all fun and games till no one's in business anymore. Chased everybody out of town. At this point in these cities, why would you even, if you own a business, like personally, if I owned a business, why would you even want to be in the city? Get the fuck out of the city. If people want to be, act like this, let them tear their city to shreds. Don't go back to the city. I haven't been in a city in a while. I don't have plans to go to one either. The protesters claim that business owners benefited from the gentrification of the neighborhood when the public housing project was torn down. I'm not even going to
Fuck these people. I'm not even reading any more about it. These people are criminals. I don't understand why major businesses are underwriting this insanity. Like I said, we are a country of cowards and blowhards. Mostly cowards these days. This has nothing to do with being on the right side or the wrong side of justice or being racist or not racist. This is a shakedown. This is about money. It's always about fucking money. It's simple as that. And they're going to cash in. These groups, they're going to cash in. There's no doubt they are cashing in. Quote unquote activists. Okay. Whatever happened to getting a job and working your way up to saving money? Race pimps. These guys are race pimps. Money for nothing, and you race for free. Race pimps. Selling hatred. Stoking hatred for cash. That's all that is. One of the oldest games around lately. Last 50 years. I could go on and on. I grew up in gritty neighborhoods, lower under the poverty line. I saw this play out time and time again. Here's the funny thing. The money never makes it back to those neighborhoods. Never. All the spokespeople, community leaders, community organizers, community activists, the big names, they line their pockets. When we were back growing up, white, black, Hispanic, we never saw that money trickle down to the hood, so to speak, and it was the hood. Doesn't happen.
He can't say hood. He's white.
Bullshit. I motherfucking made it out of the hood. I can say hood any motherfucking time I want. Believe me. I'm one of the few that made it out. My family was fortunate. We had an incredible mother, my brother, my sister, myself. That's why we made it out. Otherwise, I wouldn't even be here. I hear that all the time. Like, you talk like you really grew up. You don't know a goddamn thing about me, so shut your fucking mouth. You don't know what I've been through. You think you just get this ability to see things that other people can't see and analyze things that other people can't see by not living it? This is life experience, man. You can't read this stuff in a book. And if you do, you can't see things through that prism then because you learned it in a book. This is part of your DNA. This is who you are. This is your life. Just because you're white, you weren't poor. You need to get to some of these neighborhoods that you're reading about if that's what you think, that there's no poor white people. You're quite mistaken. You are quite mistaken. There's no poor white people in the media. They don't give a shit about poor white people or poor Hispanics or poor Asians or poor anybody. They don't. They pretend like they don't even exist. It's nothing to do with reality. It's like reading this bullshit in the media. It's like a pretend Netherland. It has nothing to do with reality when you live under the poverty line. And you can see easily how you're forgotten under the poverty line. They won't even acknowledge you in public. When's the last time somebody put money together for poor white kids under the poverty line? When? There's more poor white kids than any other kids. Did Nike put money up to them? Did Bank of America put money up for them? No. Why? Because they don't exist. Because that doesn't play well in the media. It's all a fucking game. It's all theater. It's bullshit. I'm trying to tell you folks through real life experience. It's frustrating. Bill Clinton visited Jeffrey Epstein's private island. Unsealed court documents suggest. Take what's left of my water. I think Bill Clinton wasn't lost at sea either.
A trove of documents released late Thursday could shed light on Ghislaine Maxwell's relationship with the late financier and convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. Fox News calls him a financier. Who did he work for, Fox? He wasn't a financier. Shut the fuck up. That's his cover. You understand? He never had a finance job. He worked in blackmail and leverage. Where's his finance job? Who did he work for? Who do you? I worked for Citi. I was a financier for a while. You could call me. You got there's a goddamn physical job that I was. Who did he work for? Nobody. Financier, my ass. The data includes records of a 2011 meeting between accuser Virginia Giuffre and her lawyers, where she talked about the powerful people in Epstein's orbit, or who she said either flew on his private Boeing 727 or stayed on his private island in the Caribbean. One of the names mentioned was that of former President Bill Clinton. The newly released documents include a conversation the accuser Giuffre had with her lawyers nearly 10 years ago as part of her civil case against Maxwell in 2015. At one point in the conversation, the subject turned to Epstein's powerful friends. Jack Scarola, one of Giuffre's lawyers, asked her if she had any recollection of Epstein telling her about Bill Clinton owed Epstein favors, in quotes, favors in quotes. Yes, I do, she responded, according to the documents. It was a laugh, though. He would laugh it off. You know, I remember asking Jeffrey, what's Bill Clinton doing here, kind of thing. And he laughed it off and said, well, he owes me a favor. He never told me what favors they were. I never knew. I didn't know if he was serious. I didn't know if it was just a joke. The lawyer asked her to clarify what she was referring to when she mentioned Clinton, and she said the former president was on the island. She said Maxwell was also there, as well as a person named Emmy and two young girls. And were all of you staying at Jeffrey's house on the island, including Bill Clinton? Scarola asked. That's correct, Giuffre responded. He had about four or five different villas on the island, separate from the main house, and we stayed in the villas. Angel Urena, spokesman for Clinton, told the New York Post at that time, this was a lie the first time it was told, and it isn't true today, no matter how many times it's repeated. Sure. Sure, Urena. You better find a new arena. Last year, Clinton's office issued a statement saying the former president had traveled abroad and aboard Epstein's plane and briefly visited Epstein's New York City apartment. But he was always in the company of staff and Secret Service agents. Okay, where are the Secret Service agents on this? Clinton also claimed to have had no knowledge of Epstein having pleaded guilty to sex crimes years ago in Florida. Sure, he doesn't read the newspaper. At the 2011 meeting, Scarola continued to list the names and asked Giuffre if she believed any could have information about Epstein raping underage girls. Giuffre said she believed that Les Wexner, the billionaire behind Victoria's Secret, may have relevant information. But she did not think that he would be honest. She said she believed Alan Dershowitz, the retired Harvard law professor, also had information. All these people involved in this have been sending out SOSs for decades and no one fucking answers them, no one listens. All these girls can't be lying. It's very basic. All these girls can't be lying. It's not easy to come forward when you've been abused like that. And it's very hard to make that kind of story up with the kind of details these victims have. It's very compelling. They've been sending out an SOS for 30, 40 years and no one cares. A system designed, established, manufactured to protect rich people, to protect affluent elites, powerful people. That's what the FBI is. Not to prosecute them, to protect them. At your expense and at detriment to law and order. And guess what? If you do the same things, you're going away. They'll hammer you to make it look good for what they don't do to the rich and famous. But just think about it. Are you just let's break this down. Real basic question. We talk about this all the time with FBI guys. Are you telling me that nobody, rich and famous, top tier, commits the same crimes that everybody else is prosecuted for? Nobody. That answers the question. It's a protection racket. This should be proportional. People of all walks of life commit the same crimes. Why aren't the rich and famous and the elites prosecuted for those? Why don't they do a perp walk? Why aren't they indicted? Because it's a protection racket. It's very simple. It's theater. Total theater. We appreciate the folks on True Pundit, the traffic we've had, and the news they're getting from there. Also, the folks watching on Subscribestar.com/TruePundit and Patreon.com/TruePundit. Watching the video podcast. And also, like I said, we're not spoon-fed by millionaires and billionaires, so we appreciate the support. And we'll have more coming through the week. It's the start of another week. I hope it's a good week for you, and I hope August is a good month, a better month than the previous month and previous months. And in regard to that, folks, besides my gratitude for you helping us grow, I say to you, as I do every day, take care and God bless.
Under the suburban